Good morning. The time is 9:05, and we're going to go ahead and open this meeting of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. Today is August the 10th, 2023. Thank you all for being here. It's great to see so many people in the room with us. I appreciate the commissioners all coming back for a second day of meetings. Certainly had a lot of good discussion yesterday, and I look forward to that continuing today. With that, we'll move into the first item on our agenda, which is the call to order, the invocation, and the Pledge of Allegiance. I forgot to appoint somebody. Commissioner Wilson, would you do the invocation for us?
Sure.
Please rise.
Let us pray. Lord God, again, we are so thankful to you for the opportunity to serve others. We thank you for the servant's heart that dwells with each of the commissioners here and those appointed to do the work of this commission. And we thank you for everyone who is in attendance out there who has that same servant heart. We pray that you would bless our first responders, that you would provide them with that hedge of protection, Lord, that you would keep them safe, and that you would, Lord, just bless them and their families. We pray, Lord, that you would grant us wisdom today, wisdom beyond reproach, as we make decisions for the fire service across the entire great state of Texas. Lord, may we work together. May we do what's best and what's safest for our first responders. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please join me as we pay our respects to the flag of our country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now the flag of our state.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. With that, we'll move on to item number two.
Roll call, excuse commissioner absences. Commissioner Cantu.
Here.
Commissioner Coatney.
Here.
Commissioner DeVilla.
Here.
Commissioner Glenn.
Here.
Commissioner Hamilton.
Here.
Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Lowell is absent. Commissioner Morgan is here. Commissioner Sharma is absent. Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Steelman.
Here.
Commissioner Vandegrift.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
Commissioners, just a quick update on Commissioners Lowell and Sharma. Commissioner Sharma reached out late yesterday and said that she had a sudden conflict and was not able to attend today. She did send some information that I believe Chief Wisco is going to pass along about health and wellness later on in our agenda. In a minute, I'll ask you for an excused absence for her. And more importantly, Commissioner Lowell reached out late last week, and as we all know, he's been undergoing some pretty serious health conditions, and he has made the decision to resign from the commission. He basically tendered his resignation to the board, which now he also has to do that to the governor's appointment board. And I respect his decision. He's really focused on family time. He's doing all right with his care. He just wants to spend his time focused on his family, and I totally respect that. So I will ask that we'll do this with one motion just out of courtesy, but that we accept as a committee, as a board, his resignation, and we excuse Commissioner Sharma. So would somebody like to make that motion?
Make that motion.
Have a motion by Commissioner Hamilton, second by Commissioner Jones. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item three.
Commission meeting minutes of April 20th, 2023.
All right. Commissioners, hopefully you had enough time to look over the minutes from our last meeting back in April. If there's anything that we need to discuss or any corrections we need to make, I'll entertain that now. If not, I'd like a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Item four.
Recognition of Chief Ken Swindle for his service to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection.
I know we had an item on here. Chief Swindle was supposed to be here today, but he had a sudden family thing pop up last night that kept him from coming down to Austin. We're going to recognize him for his 10 years of service to the Firefighter Advisory Committee. I'm going to ask that Chief DeYeer get the plaque to him. I know you'll probably see him here in the next few days. And we certainly thank Commissioner Swindle for his service to that committee. He's been a big asset, and we'll have to work hard to replace him. So no further action needed on that. Item 5.
The Budget and Strategic Plan Subcommittee may meet on August 10th, 2023 during the Commission meeting and provide a report relating to any recommendations developed by the Subcommittee relating to modifications to the agency's operating budget and strategic plan. So as the chair of that subcommittee, spoke with Chief Wisco, they're working up the budget and would like that committee to come together hopefully 9 a.m. prior to the next commission meeting. And I don't remember who's on that committee, to be totally honest. So if you're participating, are you good with that?
I think I'm on budget.
Okay. Does that work for you, though? 9 a.m. prior to the next meeting?
Sure.
Okay. The meeting's October 26th.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm going to assume everybody's good with that, and we'll go down that path.
Okay. Item 6.
Reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters relating to their specific organizational purposes, functions, activities, and objectives, including reports from the Texas Engineering Extension Service, Texas Fire Chiefs Association, Texas State Association of Firefighters, State Firefighters and Fire Marshal Association of Texas, Texas Fire Marshal Association, the Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire Emergency Districts, Center for Public Safety Excellence, State Fire Marshal's Office, and the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Okay. We'll go in order and call you up to the podium if you have a report. Is there anyone here from TEEKS?
Good morning. Randy McGregor with TEEKS. On July 6th, we had the grand opening for the new Les Blunty Jr. Administration and Classroom Complex. The new facility has 14 new additional classrooms with state-of-the-art technology, along with the 104-station computer testing lab we will be putting in service soon. The building also provides a central administrative workspace for many of our programs previously officed separately around the Brayton Fire Field. We just wrapped up our annual fire schools, and it was a very successful year. Our 61st annual industrial school hosted 769 students, offering 26 courses. Our 94th annual municipal school hosted 900 students, offering 27 courses. And this week, as we speak, our annual 57th annual Spanish school is happening in Cartagena, Colombia, in cooperation with one of our cooperative learning centers, hosting 230 students. TEEKS continues to support Texas Commission on Fire Protection regional meetings. This year, we have 6 nominees for the Texas Fire Service Hall of Honor. Those nominees will be presented to the selection committee soon for consideration. And also, TEEKS will be hosting the annual TIFMIS Symposium at the Brayton Fire Field, September 18th through 21st. Be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, any questions? Thank you, Randy. Texas Fire Chiefs Association. Okay. We'll move on to the Texas State Association of Firefighters.
I'll speak to that.
Sure.
We held our, the TSAFF held our biennial convention last month while we were in El Paso. Just handled our business of the state, elected officers, and we have a new district vice president covering the western part of the Metroplex. Daniel Rozier from Irving is the 5th district vice president, so he's a new member to the board. We'll be having our legislative convention to prepare for the 2025 legislative session either in January or February of 24. So that's about what we have going on right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for that report. The State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Donnie Boggs, State Firefighter and Fire Marshal Association of Texas. Like to let you know, we did conclude our 147th annual training conference and convention in McAllen. That was held June 9th through the 14th. I wish I could tell you a whole lot more about it, but I decided to spend about 4 days in the hospital down there. So I couldn't tell you a whole lot of it other than the taste of the valley, I understand, was real good. Better than the hospital food, I understand. We had several training sessions that were conducted by various instructors and speakers from across the state, including our own Chief Wisco, who's always been a good presenter for us. We want to also thank TEEKS for their logistical support, which they always give the SFMA during our conferences. Without them, it'd be a little difficult for us to handle that. I do want you to know that the 2024 conference is just down the road in San Marcos, June 27th through the 30th. Now, if you'll notice that change, instead of a 6 or 7 day conference, it's going to be a 3.5 day conference, actually, starting on a Thursday, ending on a Sunday. That's due mainly to the request of our membership across the state requesting a shorter conference due to the time and distance and expense that it's become. That'll also hold true in 2025 in Frisco and 2026 in Waco, centralized along that I-35 corridor. So we would love to see as many commissioners in attendance at our conferences can possibly attend those. We'd welcome you there. I want to thank Chief Wisco for allowing our Executive Director, Tim Rutland, to attend the various regional meetings. That's helped strengthen the relationship between the SFMA and the TCFP. In addition, myself and Chief Wisco had a very productive talk there during the annual fire school at A&M, and we certainly want to keep that relationship open and start working and doing things together to better ourselves as well as TCFP. Any questions from me?
Commissioners, any questions for SFFMA? Donnie, thank you for being here. Glad you're feeling better. Moving on to the Texas Fire Marshals Association.
Commissioners, good morning. Kelly Kistner, Texas Fire Marshals Association. First thing we want to do is tell each of the commissioners first thank you for the new Fire Marshal certification that is about to go live with the grandfathering period. But more importantly, to the staff of TCFP, and especially Candace sitting back there, we wouldn't have been able to do this without her help and the staff's help. We know it's taken a lot to get to this point. So to the commissioners and to the staff, Chief Wisco, we as the association, we'd like to say thank you for that. We're looking forward to it. Along with that, one of the things that we were asked was to look at increasing the number of fire and life safety educators across the state. The Texas Fire Marshals Association, in partnership with the Texas Chapter of the International Association of Arson Investigators and the Pasadena Fire Marshals Office, held the first of 3 fire and life safety educator classes last month. There's 2 more of those across the state to come. And as you guys probably remember from looking at it, that'll be one of the requirements after the grandfather period in order to get that basic. So we are carrying forward with that. And then the last thing is the week of October 23rd in San Marcos at the Embassy Suites, we'll have our annual conference, and we're expecting approximately 400 fire marshals from across the state. That's all we've got.
All right. Any questions? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Chief Kistner. The Texas Association of Fire Educators. The Texas A&M Forest Service.
Good morning, Commissioners. Wes Moorhead, Associate Director, Fire Chief, Texas A&M Forest Service. Y'all have all probably noticed the increase in wildfire activity across the state. My report will cover that. We actually had a fairly wet spring. We had a lot of grass grown, a lot of green grass grown, which was a blessing. In June, the tap seemed to turn off for most of the state, and we started a drying trend, which continues. The 100-degree heat days really compounded that. And so right now, across most of the state, with the exception of the Panhandle and Northeast Texas, fuels are really, really cured out, and we're seeing very intense, very volatile wildfires. In the last 10 days, our agencies responded to 139 wildfires, burning just shy of 16,000 acres. We expect that tempo to increase in the next few weeks. High pressure that set up over the state looks to stay, and so it's going to continue to bake the fuels, the vegetative fuels, and so we expect continued activity. I often get asked, when will it stop? When will it subside? Typically, climatology speaking, we'll see a decline in mid-September or early October. As the days get shorter, the nights get longer, the temperatures cool off. So that's what we're hoping for, but we're probably in for a wild ride until then. We have upstaffed because of the fire occurrence. In addition to our 400 firefighters that we have in the agency, we have brought in 283 out-of-state responders. And so these are natural resource professionals from 50 different states that have come in and augment our staffing. We've also upstaffed with TIFMIS. We currently have 221 TIFMIS responders deployed. That's 60 engines, TIFMIS engines. They are a huge asset for the state. So in total right now, we've got just over 900 wildland firefighters and support personnel responding to wildfires. wildfires. We also have brought in aircraft. We have 25 supervision and suppression aircraft. Those aircraft in the last few weeks have dropped a little bit shy of 2 million gallons of retardant and water. If you're watching our incident web viewer, you'll see we're running about 15 wildfires a day, which is definitely well above average for this time of year. Last, I would like to thank the Commission. Chief Wisco has been exceptional in providing staff in our Emergency Operations Center to help with TIF mistracking. It's a great partnership, a great collaboration, and we do appreciate that. That's the end of my report.
Commissioners, any questions?
I have one.
Chief Cook.
Chief, I have a question on the wildfire that's happened in the Cedar Park area.
Yes, sir.
Does the Forest Service intend to do an after-action review on that particular one?
That's a good question. You know, there was a great suggestion by one of the commissioners with us here today, actually Commissioner Cookney, that we conduct an AAR on that, and we are in full agreement on that. So, yes, sir, we will be conducting an AAR. It was a classic example of an interface wildfire. It's we're seeing these every day, unfortunately. We've got so much really wild and urban interface. There's so much development in the wildscape now that it is very rare that we see a wildfire that doesn't impact someone somewhere. And on that particular wildfire, we had local responders, state responders. We had a lot of different assets coming together to do structural protection, do wild and fire suppression at the same time while we're running aircraft. So it is a great example of, unfortunately, what is Texas today and what is going to be Texas into the future. So, yes, sir, Commissioner, we will be doing an AAR on that one.
Thank you. And I'm requesting that the Commission get a copy of the AAR and it also be disseminated across the state of Texas. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I'd be happy to do that.
Commissioners, any other questions? Wes, I just want you to know the most important thing I heard out of all that was cooler temperatures mid-September, so I'm thinking 70s at least, and if it doesn't happen, I'm going to blow your phone up.
That sounds good. We hope we can
just
deliver
get ready. Next up is the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts.
Skip one, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kelly, I'll come back to you next. I'll come up to you now. He's sitting back down. Kelly, NFPA. I'm sorry. My bad.
I'm not here in April, and that's what I get, right?
That's right.
January and the July/August one, I will make a commitment that I'll be here. So thank you always for the hospitality. I'm Kelly Ransdell with NFPA. I'm the South Central Regional Director, and I wanted to give you a few updates. One is the Pro Codes Act is a piece of federal legislation that launched, and it's a little bit funny because your Senator, Cornyn, and my senator in North Carolina, which is actually Tillis, are sponsoring this together. And what that federal piece of legislation does is protect all safety standards. So it affects NFPA, ICC, UL, ANSI, NIST, all the national standards. It is to protect the copyrights that exist for those. So the reason that's important is your state is part of that leadership. And what it does is it protects the integrity of the information you receive. So instead of private people taking information from organizations, and disseminating it with no quality control, it allows you to get it directly from all of those organizations. And you can certainly always access codes and standards free just through the internet, and you can view them. So thank you to Texas for your leadership on this matter. Also, the Fatal Firefighter Injury Report has been published. That is through 2022. There were 51 volunteer firefighters, 39 career, and then we had 6 federal and state level land management folks and 1 employee of a land management organization that were killed. And so it gives a rehash of those injuries and fatalities. NFPA is actively working with many national organizations to address the micro mobility issues that are popping up. When I got into Austin yesterday, I couldn't believe the amount of little scooters I saw everywhere, like all over the sidewalks. People were riding them, all different brands. Hopefully you know that there are many resources available that address the lithium ion hazards that are emerging. I would tell you that as the popularity has increased, New York is certainly the epicenter of that because they have so many e-bikes and e-scooters, but there are many resources online, and many of us are hosting events to talk about the hazards and how to address both e-bikes, micromobility, energy storage, lithium-ion batteries, and, of course, electric vehicles, and what that means for first responders. So we have many free trainings online that you can access. I'll send this report, Chief Wisco, I'll send this in writing to y'all so you can capture it through that. But just be aware that we'll send out those resources, and we do have many free resources for fire departments. I will be at the Fire Marshal Association meeting in October, and we'll be giving updates. So if you're interested in that, please attend that. Fire Prevention Week has finally been announced. Now, this is our 101st Fire Prevention Week, and this year's theme is around cooking safety. Starts with you. Pay attention to fire prevention. Unfortunately, cooking is still the number one cause of fires. So we've launched our campaign. We have many free resources online at fpw.org. Also, our NFPA conference occurred this past June. It will be again next year. It will be June 17th through 19th in a little place called Orlando. And we are doing calls for proposals right now. So we would love for you to submit some workshops from the state of Texas, because you have some really smart folks here that do some really amazing things. We also have a Steps to Safety training. We held one of the first ones in Greenville, Texas in May, and we had great attendance. We have like 75 folks, and they asked us to move it around the state of Texas. So we have a free Steps to Safety workshop, which is a fire and fall prevention program for older adults. That will be held as a pre-conference to the Fire Marshal Association meeting on October 23rd. It is free. We'll give you lunch, and we'll give you lots of free learning. So if you're going to be up that way in the middle part of the state and can attend, the registration is going to start promoting today, and we'll be available online. But please be aware of that free workshop. Also, unfortunately, many states have had construction fires. While we were at our conference in Las Vegas, there was a construction fire that happened that you could actually see out of the Mandalay Bay that was going on. That was a multi-million dollar loss. And unfortunately, in North Carolina, many of you probably heard about the fire that occurred in Charlotte, a construction fire. Many states are looking at adoption of 241, but in addition to 241, which is the standard which gives some safeguards for buildings under construction, they also are putting in place what's called a fire protection manager position. And what this does is the companies that are building these sites actually have a person that's responsible for making sure that fire protection is put in place to protect those structures. The city of Boston actually adopted this because they found that there was no checks and balance. Like, you can tell people to do the right thing, and y'all know how that is, but unless you hold them accountable and have things in writing to understand exactly what qualifications they need, this kind of leveled the playing field for that. So if you're interested in that, please reach out. Also, we're hosting a fire chief forum at NFPA in November, and I'm so pleased that Texas will be represented there. And so thank you for participating with NFPA. And I want to just thank the commission for always including us in your meetings, and also for the work you do across this state. So thank you, sir.
Commissioners, any questions for NFPA? Kelly, thank you for coming here from North Carolina. I apologize for the earlier oversight.
It's okay. I'm just picking. Thank you.
Now we'll do the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts.
Good morning. Thank you. Yeah, you caught me off guard. I said
sorry.
I was after NFPA, so I was like, oh.
That's what happens when you put your mark too early on the paper.
It's totally fine. Clay Avery, the Executive Director of the State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, or SAFE-D for short. We are the State Association for Emergency Services Districts, or ESDs, as many people refer to us. Right now in the ESD world, it is tax rate setting time, budget and tax rate setting time, as governmental entities, all but of the 350-ish ESDs, all but five levy an ad valorem or property tax. So for those governmental entities, the time is now to be following the process, which is very simple and easy to understand. I'm joking. It's a very complex process that they have to go through to set their ad valorem rate, and so that's probably the primary focus for our districts. At SAFE-D, one thing that we're focused on is setting up some regional trainings for our ESD commissioners. These are, again, the folks who sit on the boards of the districts. We're seeing more need for training out in the rural areas, more East Texas. Folks that can't come to our conference, maybe because of lower revenues, and can't necessarily access our on-demand or webcast training due to internet connectivity issues out there. So we're looking at getting out into Jasper in September and trying to get into Northeast Texas, maybe Henderson County in the following month. Those will be items that we're publishing soon. In terms of our annual conference, that is a key focus of ours. Going forward, February 22nd through 24th in Irving, Texas. We just had our summer board meeting up there, toured the facility. It looks great. We think it's going to be a nice opportunity. Our official call for presentations will be out later this month, but I'm pretty easy to find for folks in this room. If you have anything you think the ESD community needs to know about, please get a hold of me. Let me know if there's something you want to do a presentation on. We've had Chief Wisco talk about the commission before, and that's always been a big hit. But if there's any, really for anyone who wants to talk to the ESD community, Safety Conference, February 22nd through 24th in Irving. Lastly, a lot of our focus is going to be on whatever there is of an interim session, however interim it may be. Legislatively, that's something that we have to keep focus on because 2025 will be here before we know it. So with that, I will conclude my presentation. Any questions?
Commissioners, any questions? Right. Thank you, Clay.
Thank you all.
Next up is Center for Public Safety Excellence.
Good morning. My name is Mike Marino. I'm speaking on behalf of Leonard Chan for the Public Safety Excellence Consortium. For the state of Texas. He's currently in Savannah, Georgia, doing a NFPA 1022 technical committee meeting. The consortium strives to develop a collaborative relationship among fire departments across the state, especially through the Center for Public Safety Excellence's agency accreditation and professional credentialing programs. SEPSE's hosting a summer symposium in Chicago in August, the 28th through the 30th, for accreditation hearings, basic and advanced accreditation classes, and peer assessor courses. The basic accreditation class will also be held in San Angelo, Texas, between the dates of September 5th through the 7th, and in Spring, Texas, from October 17th through the 19th. The next Excellence Conference has been scheduled for February 27th through March 1st in Orlando. Closing date for presentation submissions is at the end of this month on August 31st. And that's all I have.
Commissioners, any questions? Thank you. Next up is the State Fire Marshal's Office. And finally, the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. Okay, I think we've reached the end of six. Move on to seven.
Report from Commissioner Representative of the Homeland Security Council.
I was unable to make that meeting, but Mike went, so I'll refer to him.
Long meeting, but in a nutshell, there was presentation by DPS about border strategy change. They laid out the Homeland Security Safety Plan that they're working on and hope to have complete by September. There is a statewide exercise being planned for October, and then there were four separate presentations by various state agencies on a number of topics. And that was about it.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions? All right. We'll move on to item eight.
Report from the Health and Wellness Ad Hoc Committee.
I believe Chief Wisco is going to make this report for us also.
Yeah, so in the absence of Commissioner Sharma, she just wanted to remind everybody about the injury report and the required 2 hours of CE. And we're working together right now. Some staff members are working on a health and wellness page as part of our website that will have some mental health resources and cancer resources and things of that nature. We're working on that. And that's the end of her report.
All right. We'll move on to aisle number nine.
Subjects for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioners, does anyone have anything they would like to see on the next agenda specifically? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to 10.
Future meeting dates.
All right, commissioners, our next date is already set for Thursday, October the 26th. I know we had some discussion in the workshop yesterday about the potential shift of our meetings, changing the month schedule that we typically have done throughout the year historically, looking at February, May, August, and November. Hopefully you've had some time to go back and think about that. Is that something that you still are in support of? And if so, we could probably proceed with scheduling some of those earlier dates in possibly February and May. I believe Amanda said the calendar is not yet available for August or November. If you'd like to do that, I believe she's got some dates that she's already looked at for those 2 months anyway, so we can get those on the books. Are those still good dates? All right, so, and I know we had some discussion in the workshop yesterday about flipping the workshop schedule. I know that was an issue. What, somebody remind me of...
For August, I had said something about August being such a heavy...
Staying budget. Out of August for a workshop.
Right.
Okay, so then that would put the workshop in May and November, if we alternate them like we historically have. Is everybody good with that? All right, so I believe the dates currently would be, the first meeting would be February the 29th. It's a Thursday. And then the May date would be the workshop on the 15th starting at 10 and the commission meeting on the 16th starting at 9. Anybody see any potential conflicts with those? And what we'll likely do is when we circle back up in October, hopefully the remainder of that meeting room schedule will be available by then, and we can possibly set those other two dates for August and November. And I didn't state a while ago that the meeting on February 29th would be a 10 a.m. meeting. Any issues with any of those that you foresee? Okay. If not, we will move forward and get Amanda to book the room for those dates. We can move on to item 11.
Discussion and possible action on 37 Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 443, Certification Curriculum Manual.
Mr. Chairman, as you read through this, you see a lot of changes, but quite simply, we're playing catch-up and doing some cleanup. When Sunset removed the language from 419 about the Firefighter Advisory Committee, if you read this rule, currently it states basically everything that this commission does goes through the Firefighter Advisory Committee. So we just cleaned that up, and as we were looking at it, everything seems to deal with curriculum and curriculum changes. So we just changed the language from Firefighter Advisory to the curriculum and testing. Just staff recommendation. You can do it what you want, but we needed to clean it up because it was not compliant with 419 any longer.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions or comments on item 11? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I have a question.
Okay, Commissioner Cody.
On page 421.16, it has a reference, and I would ask Chief Boggs to come up, but it has a reference to the SFFMA under here. It's the State Firemen's and Fire Marshals Association. I believe they've changed their name to State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association. And that carries throughout the rest of the document. Would that be correct, Chief Boggs?
Sorry.
This still has a reference to the SFFMA as State Firemen's and Fire Marshal Association. I believe you guys have changed his name to State Firefighters and Fire Marshal Association.
We are still the State Firemen and Fire Marshal Association, doing business as the State Firefighters and Fire Marshal Association of Texas.
Okay, so this would be correct then, State Firemen's. Okay. I withdraw my suggestion.
Okay. Any other discussion on item 11? No, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Approve.
Motion by Commissioner Cantu, second by Commissioner Hamilton. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. Commissioners, I request that we move item 12 down below item 14 since it does have some reference to 463. I don't think it's prudent that we take action on it until we get item 14 taken care of in the agenda order. So with that, we will move to item 13 next.
Discussion and possible action on 37 TAC Chapter 403, criminal convictions and eligibility for certification.
So we looked through that and didn't really find out anything other than a few minor changes which were already noted in what you received. Everything looks good. I think it's a great deal because it gives some flexibility, but it's also still a firm document. So in today's world, I think it's a great opportunity.
Okay. Commissioners, this was a sunset item that we needed to address, and so I appreciate the committee. I believe it was Commissioner Vandegrift, Commissioner Davila, and Commissioner Morgan that took care of that for us. So thank you all for your work on that. Are there any other comments or discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve. Motion by Commissioner Cantu.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Copney. Any other questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes. All right. Item 14.
Discussion and possible action on 37 TAC Chapter 463, Advisory Committees.
All right, Commissioners. This was certainly the topic of conversation in the workshop yesterday, and I know it has been for quite a while now. So we'll open the floor up.
Chairman?
Sure. Commissioner Cook.
I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to reset the six-year terms beginning in 2021, but include staggering terms beginning in 2024. So as an example, with the Firefighter Advisory Committee, for the commissioners who have the list we issued out yesterday, position one would complete their first term in 2024, which would mean we'd have to fill the existing vacancy for the spot nine, and we'd have to replace the termed out member. Then in 2025, we would follow suit with position two being replaced, and we'd fill that replacement of that term member and add it as two new positions. And in 2076, we'd begin the cycling off of two members on a regular rotation. So to ensure continuity, I further recommend that the first of the six-year terms allow those cycling off of the respective committees to be eligible to reapply for their seats for consideration by the commission. Additionally, I recommend, if this is accepted by the commission and approved, that we immediately open up all vacancies across all three of the committees. So the Firefighter Advisory Committee would have two vacant positions. The Curriculum and Testing Committee, I have some concerns about the order of cycling off, so I would put that up for further discussion because of the difficulty of that particular committee, the weight of it. I would like to keep the chairman in place, who would be actually the first person to cycle off, but I'd like to keep them in place for a couple of more years to allow a smooth transition. And obviously, as we discussed yesterday, the Health and Wellness Committee hasn't been working. They haven't had enough committee members, so we'd have to almost open that completely up. So I'd like to bring that forward for a point of discussion or for consideration.
Okay, Commissioners.
Or we can take it to a vote.
You need a second to discuss,
don't you? Oh, yeah. I guess I really do. You made that in form of a motion right out of the gate. Okay, so I have a motion by Commissioner Copney, second by Commissioner Wilson. Now, any other discussion? That was a lengthy motion.
I have it written down, so
that's good.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Cantu.
I believe it's a good compromise from the discussion from yesterday. So,
I'm seeing heads nodding that weren't nodding yesterday, so I mean, that's a move in the right direction.
I'm still going to have to speak against it. We spoke beforehand, and I can see where the compromise could be seen, and I can see where it can seem like, you know, a reasonable option. However, I still go back to what the law says, and the law says that the committee members will be appointed to six-year terms, and even if we went back to 2021, those terms go through 2027. I understand that part of this is based upon, it's our understanding that some of the committee members have expressed their intent that they're going to retire or end their service to the TCFP in the coming years. But my concern is that we are setting ourselves up for legal action, because if we're in violation of the law, then, and I know it's fantastic that our attorney's not here, but if we're setting ourselves up for legal action, then what are we doing as an agency as far as a cost for something we might have to defend for something that we are doing that's contrary to the law?
Commissioner Wilson.
So, respectfully, I don't believe that, and I think we all
discussed this and came to agreement yesterday that we are not enacting law, and I don't think we're subject to any kind of legal action. We all know that if we approve this today, this goes back to the governor's office for their approval. And I see our attorney walking in.
Am I going to have to read this again?
Not time, Robert. So I think we have that safety net. The bottom line is we have that safety net. We don't enact law as the Texas Fire Commission. So if we adopt this, then it goes to the governor's office for final agreement. I don't think that subjects us to legal action.
Well, at this time, that would probably be the only question for our attorney, correct?
I would think.
If it goes back to the governor's office for review, that's the question.
Yes. So, Rosalind, we're at item number 14. We're picking up with some suggestion from where we left off in the workshop yesterday. I will let Commissioner Coatney read his lengthy motion again just to get you up to speed.
Ready? Motion to reset the six-year terms beginning in 2021 but include staggering terms beginning in 2024. For example, with the Firefighter Advisory Committee, this effectively creates the following rotational schedule replacement earlier application schedule. In 2024, we would remove position one, they would term out, we would advertise that position, and also one of the vacancies that exists in that, so we keep an odd number. In 2025, we would remove position two and follow the same model, completion of term for that commissioner, and then advertise two new positions for that commissioner and plus the two other vacant commissioners. That would effectively give us 11 on that committee. And in 2026, we'd begin cycling off two members off the committee. To ensure continuity, I further recommend that this creates a first of the six-year terms, which would make anyone who cycles off of it eligible to reapply for consideration for reappointment to those committees by the commission. And I would recommend, if this is accepted by the commission, that we immediately open up the vacancies for all three of the advisory committees. Currently, the Firefighter Advisory Committee would have two positions based on the model I just gave. The Curriculum and Testing Committee, any vacancies that are existed there based on the cycling off, and the Health and Wellness Committee based upon the attendance of the Health and Wellness Committee and how many people we need to do. The first position for what I said is the first position for the advisory, not the advisory, the first position for the Curriculum and Testing Committee is the chair, but I would recommend keeping that person on and looking further down into the list for the rotation. What I marked on mine was the fourth position for that. And on the health and wellness, the first position and the chair is a commissioner, so that person would not be cycling off. And that was my motion. I can whittle it down to less words if you'd like.
And we had a second to that. Commissioner Glenn was in the process of explaining a concern of his. You want to repeat that one more time?
Sure. And I would further say, I don't think we were in agreement yesterday. I don't think there ever was an agreement that of where we stand with the law. My concern is that the legislature in 21 passed a law in the statute. It was SB, I think, 709, and at which time it said that six-year terms, members appointed under this chapter shall serve six-year staggered terms. And I know that's the issue, but they shall serve six-year staggered terms but may not be appointed more than two consecutive terms. But it's the shall serve six-year terms. So my concern is that if we are going to create terms that we appointed people essentially in 21 when we renew these committees, all three of these, I think we were in agreement on that yesterday, or you mentioned that, that if they started in 21, when the law was set, because that's new language, how can we set up something that's less than what the law says? And it's one of the commissioners pointed out yesterday, the word shall is in there. Shall serve six-year terms. That's my concern. And are we setting ourselves up for legal action as a commission to be sued by an entity or an individuals that we're not following the state law?
If you guys want to discuss it in closed session, you can get advice from legal counsel.
Okay.
Say it one more time.
If you would like legal counsel, you can do that in closed session.
Okay. Commissioners, would you like to leave this open until we do have a closed session on the agenda at the end of the meeting today? Would you like to postpone this one until we get to closed session?
We can do that.
Yes. Commissioner Cotney, you made the motion, so I'll leave it up to you.
I'm supportive of that. The only thing I would ask is if there's, you know, this would be a good time, if you're acceptable for public comment since we have the room full.
I agree. So now that this agenda item is open, if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak to it, now would be the time.
Good morning, Commissioners. Daniel DeYeer with the Firefighter Advisory Committee. Chief Cotney, I just need to clarify something. I think you said everything correctly, and I just want to make sure that we're mapping this out to run the entire committees for each of the three committees on a timeline. And if I'm correct in understanding what you said, so in 2024, there would be two positions that you're reviewing. Would those be positions number 9 and then number 1? Or would they be number 1 and number 2?
Number 1 and a vacancy.
So I would think we should assign a number to that vacancy, whether it's number 9 or number 2.
Yeah, number 9 and number 1.
Okay. That clarifies it for me. So every other year we would either be electing one or two people to each of the committees.
Correct.
Perfect. And that'll be mapped out all the way through the entire 6-year cycle, which is what Sunset's requesting us to do. And then 7 years from now, we'll basically restart the exact same process again.
That's correct.
So we could literally map out what it would look like in 2040.
Correct.
On a calendar.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that in your motion that you guys were actually delineating that specific position.
Yes, that's correct.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that looks great. Just wanted to clarify that.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Chief DeYeer. Chief DeYeer, first of all, thank you for serving in the committee. But based on your vast experience in the Firefighter Advisory Committee, does this rotation work to maintain continuity of the group itself? I realize there's going to be bumps in the roads, but based on your experience, will this work?
I believe it will. I know between the workshop yesterday and the last 3 years that we've been discussing this, or even longer, that there is an ebb and flow on each of these committees just through natural attrition from time to time, such as the example with the Firefighter Advisory Committee. We have a vacancy today that we were not foreseeing a year ago. So I think this plan addresses that. I think as we move forward, the discussions y'all made yesterday, my prediction would be as time moves forward, whoever the appointments are on the specific years that they're designated, it will not actually play out that way. What will end up happening is individuals will leave the committee on years where their terms were not up. And when that happens, as you mentioned yesterday, you will have the ability to reappoint somebody to that position to fulfill that term, but the terms still stay on the same schedule. And I think that gives us the map of having continuity as we move forward while acknowledging that there is going to be situations that change. For example, the three least senior members on any of these committees could easily leave in the next 2 years. There's nothing prohibiting that from happening. But the plan that you have proposed with your motion, Chief Cotney, I think it addresses that, and we can move forward with that. The other question I would ask is, so in each of these positions, the option for the commission is to reappoint for 6 more years or to replace them, or if they're resigning or retiring or whatever the scenario plays out, that solves that problem. Is that the first of 2 6-year terms, or is that the last of the 2 6-year terms?
That's the completion of the first 6-year term, so they can be reappointed to another 6-year term.
Okay. That clarifies that for me.
And that was my interpretation from what we talked about yesterday. I know Commissioner Glenn and I have a differing perspective. That's why we wanted to get the legal opinion. So, thank you.
I think that covers all the what-ifs from everybody that's been involved in the committees, especially with the differences between the committees themselves. I know the curriculum and testing committee is a very different animal, a different need than the advisory committee and the health and wellness. And I think this gives a roadmap and solidifies what Sunset's trying to request us to do, while at the same time allowing y'all some flexibility to manage it as it moves forward.
It seems very hard to apply a blanket policy to three committees that are vastly different. However, that's what we're charged with. So, yeah.
Well, I think the way Chief Coatney just proposed that motion, I think that addresses the latitude that you would have to move forward, while still at least painting a picture for anybody else that's interested in how these committees are reappointed and move forward.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Mr. Jones?
Yeah, I just want to, while we're in open, just back up what Commissioner Glenn said. That I agree that, and I'm the one yesterday said that we shall serve six-year terms, and it's right there in the Texas Government Code. And anything outside of that, saying that the terms are shortened, I think we are opening ourselves up. And like I said, I know we're going to get legal counsel. But again, it goes back to what I said. We have the right as commissioners, if the body says so, to remove any member. And so if that's the avenue we want to go to shorten them, then we obviously have that right to do so. I would just say that it would be done in the right way and in order. So in the right order.
At the very top.
Commissioners, any other discussion?
Okay.
Chief Wisco.
I have a clarification question just for staff. Since we are looking at a rule that would be pushed forward as a proposal at this point, and we're talking about the terms, which was the one thing missing from the current proposed 463. Are you going to want that spelled out in 463 under the section for terms, or do you want that spelled out as a separate just agency policy? And I ask that only because if you want it spelled out in the 463 in front of you, we're going to have to get somebody to type it up and work on that, and we can have it ready for the closed session so when you come out of that, you have a completed document.
I'm in favor of whatever makes it the most transparent, whether that's in 463 or whether that's a standalone document that everybody has access to so that they can see and easily understand this is our process for committees. That's, I don't know, whichever. Commissioners, any other thoughts on that?
Well,
Commissioner Hamilton.
As far as maneuverability around in the website, it would all be on one sheet or in one exact location.
I got no problem. I need to know so I can get somebody working on typing this up and written it all down. I think we're good, but I'll try to compose it and get it to somebody so they have time to work on it before we get done with the executive session later on in the meeting.
Sure. Commissioners, Commissioner Cantu.
Just for clarification, can we not approve the 463 today and then add that later so that we're not pushing this down the road?
I think you're good if you're comfortable with that. I want to make sure we have it all laid out right. But
I thought the idea of the reason why we couldn't vote for this before is because we hadn't publicly put it out.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't want to get to the fence of putting this in, and we got to go and put it out there again to then vote for again because we're now 18 months into this.
Right.
So I would say at the least we vote for this document because that's good. We've agreed on that document. The rotation could be something separate that could be additive later, though, correct?
Well, or historically, you could vote on this document with the changes as outlined, and we'll put the changes in before it gets published. We can do that. But I just needed some clarification before we get too far down the road, because if the expectation is to have something to read that's complete, we're going to need time to put that together before we get there.
I think it needs to be in the room.
I'm sorry?
I think it needs to be in the room.
In 463? Mm-hmm. Anyone think it?
I agree. I'd rather see the draft language, and we can talk about that during closed session. And then, obviously, if we are all supportive of it, we can bring it forward.
So last meeting, y'all already approved the proposed 463 that you're looking at. So if y'all are going to make any changes today, y'all can actually adopt it, but you're going to need to have the changes present today to be able to adopt that.
Right.
That's supportive of that.
Okay.
Okay. Commissioner Coatney, do you have that written out, or should I just...
I can read it.
Decipher my...
I'll hand it to you. Yeah.
Yeah, because we'll get somebody working on it. It might take a little bit of time, but I know we can have it before we get to the executive session part.
It needs some editing, though.
We got some pretty smart people can handle that. It's not going to be me doing it, I can promise you.
Just for clarification, we're going to identify rotation by position, correct?
Correct.
And then is the goal that it complete a term or they start a new term if somebody comes off through retirement or sickness, or what's the case?
So when they come off, the committee member who comes off can reapply since this would be their first six-year term, and then we could consider that along with any new applications. One of my concerns and one of the reasons to do it this way, I think Commissioner Glenn made a good point yesterday based on the way the law is written, but it also includes the term staggered terms in there, right? So I'm trying to mix those two together. But as we discussed yesterday at length, we're having a hard time filling some of these positions already on various committees that we have, and so I don't know what the pool of candidates is going to look like or how many we're actually going to receive. So this gives us an opportunity to be able to have continuity of operations should we not receive enough applications for any of the committees.
Yeah, I think where I was going was is so that we don't get into this idea where you don't get into staggered because people come off. If somebody can't complete their term, mm-hmm. a new member would complete that term, and then they would start their own six-year cycle when that term came up.
Very similar to what Commissioner Jones had spoke of yesterday. Yeah, if somebody comes off in between, yes, that's correct. If they choose to step off on their own is what you're asking. Yes, that is correct.
Mr. Chairman, again, for the record, I would like to say that I'm in support of Chief Coatney in the sense of the term started when we enacted, just like I said yesterday, all the committees that started six-year terms. I am not for saying that we're shortening the terms. I think that's where we're going to get into the issue. And so, again, if we want to create that staggering by removing members,
none of these people,
then I ask that we do that the proper way in the form of motions that for specific members to remove them on specific dates, but not saying we're shortening the terms. I think we're getting ourselves into.
Well, if we're going to an executive session, all that discussion will take place at that time.
Right.
Nobody can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Mike?
That's the first.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? Chief Deere.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have a question that was just posed to me. When you guys have your executive session, do you still come back into public forum to have the discussion and the vote?
We come back in, yes.
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Anything else? Any other members of the audience that wish to speak to this? Okay. So at this point, we'll take no action, and we'll consider that more once we get to executive session toward the end of the agenda. That's going to put us at item. Well, we really still have to postpone 12 because it was contingent on 14. So we'll move on the agenda to item 15.
Discussion and possible action on 37 TAC Chapter 439 examinations for certification, Matrix 439.19.
Chairman, this is a cleanup, but it was pointed out by Woody Dunsith a couple meetings back that there was a clerical error in this as far as the graph on the number of test questions, the chart. And so what you'll see goes to the bottom under the section that says for all other examinations and sectional exams, you see a change in the number of exam questions. It currently is at 50. The change is to make it 25. And if you slide over two columns to time allowed, it's showing 1 hour. We need to change that to 30 minutes. That keeps it in line with the sections of the exams that only have that number of questions and the time frame allowed for that. Curriculum and testing has seen this. Pat McAuliffe relayed to me that they support the changes. They don't see any issues. So this is a cleanup measure that got messed up here a while back and wasn't noted properly in the rule.
All right. Commissioners, any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. I'm sorry. Motion by Commissioner Vandegrift, second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. Sure. Item 16.
Discussion and possible action on matters as referred from the Curriculum and Testing Committee. A, new 37 TEC Chapter 469 Technical Rescue, and B, discussion on the letter received regarding the Marine Fire Ad Hoc Committee.
Good morning. I'm Chris Watson. I'm a member of the Curriculum and Testing Committee. This is DJ Walker. He's the chair of our Ad Hoc Technical Rescue Committee. We're here to present the technical rescue rules for rope rescue certification. This is a new certification. It's our first technical rescue certification. The rules are pretty much standard for certification. If you look at your notebook, Chapter 469, Subchapter A, is the certification for rope rescue awareness level and operations level. Both those levels are combined into one certification. If you look at C, talks about the special temporary provision. That's the grandfather period. It's a standard one-year language for people who are already trained to that level. And then next section is taking the classes for certification. This is all standard typical language for certification. Subchapter B is for technician level. And again, it's a standard language for certification. There is an error that was a section missing. If you look at section C, where it talks about the special temporary provision, where it says by, there's some language missing. If you refer back to subchapter A, the 1, 2, 3, and 4, it will be basically the same thing, except for in 2, where it talks about provided documentation that they've been trained to that level, it will say be trained to the technician level. But the dates will be the same. Everything else will be the same. So we're asking that you would approve amending this rule to include 1, 2, 3, and 4, also in subchapter B under C. And then in the 629.203 section, that's the standard language for getting rope rescue technician certification level by taking the classes. Questions?
I have a comment. Looking at 469 subchapter A under 469.1, go down to C1. I think you might need to look at that language because it the way it reads now is it. I'll read the last part of C. Examination for rope rescue awareness level operations level by hold as a minimum. You might want to make that holding as a minimum. And the same thing with the word provide in number 2, providing. And then you start new sentences under 3 and 4. Perhaps those should be listed as D and E since they're sentences separate and apart from what's stated under C. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. I guess I'll have to...
The verbiage just needs to be...
Yes, sir. I understand. I guess I would refer to staff to make sure that they're good with that.
Commissioners, any other comments? I guess one question that I would have would come out of 469.1C2. And this may be more for staff, but just to see how this conforms with other certifications that we have. And I realize this is all really new language. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, C2, where it says, in the form of an affidavit from the individual's head of department or chief training officer, that the individual has met the department's requirements to perform as a rope rescuer and has demonstrated proficiency as a rope rescuer at the rope rescue awareness level and operations level. I'm just trying to determine if we have any other certifications that would function basically off the word of an affidavit from the training officer or the chief of the department that I guess where my concern is the department standards may vary from department to department. So you could end up with a variation of people trained at different levels, but they've all been signed off on by the fire chief. So you could have when all these people are showing up working together, they may all have a different understanding because they've been trained to a different level. Does that make sense from going to that? Just where's the consistency, I guess, is my question.
So this is standard language. Previous special temporary provisions, the grandfather period, we have accepted affidavits like that from.
So this only applies during the grandfathering period. That after the grandfather period, then it would. That's where the consistency would kick in, I guess.
Correct.
That's my. All right.
Yes, sir.
And I know we went through something similar to this in wildland firefighter, I believe. You know, you still had to meet those minimum standards, and that really got complicated because it shifted over to NWCG, which was new territory for us. So, okay. That helps me understand that. Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions or comments?
And I apologize. I was trying to get some clarification. Reading this and knowing it can be in another process of new certifications, and I understand that there's not going to be a where they have like an instructor, and there's a process that the staff has now, but it doesn't really explain out the provisional period like in previous ones, in previous certifications we've had. And I assume this has been looked at by testing curriculum and by firefighter advisory as well, is that correct?
I'm not sure about advisory.
Has this been looked at by firefighter advisory and testing curriculum?
I don't believe so. I believe that the new rules would bring it directly to the commission.
Yeah, okay. And did you guys spell out during your provisional period the process?
In here, yes, there's the dates. There's the dates for the application period that will be accepted, and the subsection will expire a year from implementation. So I believe this actually is more clarification language than previous grandfather periods.
And, Commissioner, if I can, let me try to bail Chris out here a little bit. This is coming to you guys for the first time. If you want to send it to any of your three committees to look at, you can. This is just brand new language, and we had to start here with you all. So,
the test curriculum has not even seen this yet. Is that correct?
Well, this is
no. They are representing.
They are representing, right?
Yeah, Chris is representing testing curriculum. But if you want somebody else to see it, you can.
Right.
You have the option of doing that. But this is just brand new language. First time it's seeing the light of day here. So I think everybody knows it's open for plenty of discussion and could get tweaked.
Okay. So, and I understand Chris is representing the testing curriculum, but has the whole committee had a chance to look at it?
Yes, sir.
They have. Okay.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we send this to Firefighter Advisory for their next meeting, just because I have some concerns with it. And Chief Gears here for the notes is, again, to look at the instructor and the fact that they're, from what I can see, it looks like they're trying to get two certifications off of one test, and then just to spell out that special provisional period, just to kind of look at it and get some clarification on all that. And that was just things that I was looking at compared to other ones. But, I mean, great job on it, supportive of it, like the certification I know in the fire service has been asked for, but I just, you know, again, trying to do things how we've done it in the past, just
sure.
I'd like to send it there to have it looked at, and those are my concerns.
Okay. I have a motion on the floor.
Second.
I have a second by Commissioner Morgan. Is there any other discussion that we send this back to Firefighter Advisory Committee for review? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Chris.
Mr. Chairman, before moving completely off of it, and perhaps now I'm speaking to Chief Deere, page 53, where we talk about the time period where the grandfathering, as it were, occurs, February 1st, 2024 through February 1st, 2025. Speaking from a budget perspective, I've already submitted my budget. It's before council that reflects 23-24. While I know this is an optional certification, all of you in the fire service knows there's going to be members that are going to want it. There's going to be a hostile attorney. There's going to be hostile media. If we conduct a rescue, that rescue was conducted by somebody who didn't have the certification. We're placed in a position to where there's going to be impetus on the fire departments to have to satisfy this. When you consider the testing fee and the certification fee, and then you start talking about hundreds of members of the fire department, it feels like an unfunded mandate. The only ask then that I would send over to Firefighter Advisory or to the commission to consider is look closely at the dates when we enact this, because effectively I'm going to have to present this in a budget, the monies, hold my people back on doing this until late in the session. And now we've compressed the amount of time that I have available to get my people certified. I hope that makes sense. But on the fiscal year budget, we're coming in after budget has been submitted, and now I have to run through the end of September, and I have a narrowed window to try and satisfy the dollars that are required. So that goes both to the commission when you guys see this. Perhaps we can look at dates that are a little bit more fiscal budget friendly, or that may be able to come from the firefighter advisory. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Jones.
Thank you for that, Chief. And I definitely understand. With that, I would just say, I know we had spoke about it, it's been a few meetings ago, and I apologize, but we had actually addressed this, I think, right, Chief Wisco, about when new certifications come in, a time frame because of the on staff and you guys trying to get everybody recertified. So just if Firefighter Advisory can go back and get those minutes to see when that time frame was, because we had some staff that commented on the task it takes for you.
Sure, and I think it's important to point, and I appreciate his comments, and they're spot on with what we plan to do, but the dates, just like the rest of this, are all just there as a starting point, and I think a lot of consideration is going to have to be given into that, because there are some concerns that have been voiced about requirements, and local departments are probably going to want to require this for legal reasons, and so. But
yes, sir. No.
Yeah, I can tell you, we're going to work with that and try to stay on top of those dates so that it's amenable to everybody. Yes,
yeah, and definitely be sensitive to the city, to you know, department's sure. budgets and those things. But I just remember that conversation. I just don't remember the exact conversation it was, because several right. meetings ago.
Okay. Any other discussion on that before we move to B?
I was just going to say I support the chief. I don't want to replicate what we did during the recertification process years ago, where we did it mid-budget year for most of the municipalities, and that was quite the challenge. Also, the fact that it is a voluntary certification doesn't, you know, create a need for it to become mandated by the cities, but I think you're correct from a legal perspective. Many cities, especially those that run regional technical teams, are going to adopt the standard. So,
anything else? All right. If not, we will move to 16B.
Discussion on the letter received regarding the Marine Fire Ad Hoc Committee.
Commissioners, I received an email that you see in your packet here from Chief Buck with the Port of Houston. He's outlined his concerns about the Marine certification in an ad hoc committee that's been working to redevelop that. Also had a conversation with Louis Havens, who is the chair of that ad hoc committee. He sits on curriculum and testing. He was assigned to chair that committee. He's in agreement with what Chief Buck is saying, that it has stalled. He gave two reasons for why it stalled. One, this started right about the same time the pandemic began, and NFPA is in the process of merging Marine in with the new standard 1010. So all of us are kind of sitting back on our hands waiting to see what that final document looks like, because it's going to start a bunch of work on our part here. So Louis agreed it probably needs to get some attention. And so if it were to go back to curriculum and testing, he would probably make sure he's not the chair of it, because he doesn't feel he can give the time to it. But he did offer those two reasons as why it has stalled. It wasn't just ignored. There's been a couple reasons why they just hadn't got to it. So he supports what Chief Buck's saying, and it's whatever you guys want to do with it. But I think clearly with the restructuring that's going on with the standards at NFPA and 1010 being the first one, Marines getting absorbed into that, we're going to spend a lot of time looking at this sooner rather than later anyway. So while I don't think his email and his request is out of line, I don't think there's been any wrongdoing or a failure to act here. It's just caught up in the minutia of bureaucracy, if you will.
Okay. commissioners' thoughts, comments.
Do we know how many is on this? How many members are on this at this time?
I do not.
Candace.
Behind you, sir.
1 second.
Just wanted to prep the whole document. We need 15. Mm-hmm.
Maureen, at the time, with the chair, had 7 members.
Thank you.
So just so I'm clear, Chief Wisco, we would send this potentially as an option. We would send this back to curriculum and testing, and then they would recommend an ad hoc and select a new chair. Is that an option?
I think you could send it back to them and just ask them to take a look at it and come up with some plan on how they're going to address it. I think that would be
And then important. Bring it back.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, then I'll make a motion that we send those back to the curriculum and have them look at it and come up with a plan.
Okay. I have a motion by Commissioner Jones to send it back to curriculum and testing.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. Item 17.
Discussion and possible action on filling the current vacancy on the Firefighter Advisory Committee.
So I feel like we're at a standstill on this as well until we finish some other work.
And Candace did some amazing work. We've got the draft language. When y'all are ready for that, we're going to get some copies made and distributed here to you. So before you go to executive session, you'll have that in front of
you. Okay. I'll tell you what, at that note, I'd recommend that we take about a 15-minute break to have opportunity to review that documentation. So we will reconvene. The time is 10:21. We will start back up at 10:36. Turn off your microphones, please. Time is 10:38, and we'll reconvene the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. When we left off prior to the break, I believe we were to item 18 on our agenda.
Review and possible action of the 2022 data collected regarding firefighter injuries and the report to be submitted to the State Fire Marshal's Office for inclusion in its annual report.
I think this is Grace.
Good morning, commissioners and everybody else. I figured I'd just sit here and then I can run the laptop and people can see and everything. So I'm Grace Wilson. I'm the public information officer here at the commission. And one of my duties is to be the administrator for the injury reporting program. So I'm presenting today to you the 2022 injury report based on all the data that we collected last year. And I don't really have anything that interesting to say about it. I mean, it's pretty much the same situation that we've been seeing over the years. Would you like to go through it in detail, or do you have questions and we could just jump right to those, or how do you want to approach it today?
Reference commissioners?
The goal for the day, of course, for you guys is to come up with recommendations for the fire service that I can include into the report, and then the report is submitted to the State Fire Marshal's Office for inclusion in their annual report.
Brief overview, and then if anybody has a question, we can dive deeper into it. Does that sound good, Grace? Just we'll do a brief overview of the document, and then we'll dive into deeper things if they come up.
Okay, sounds good. Well, if you can go to page 5, let me pull that up.
That would be page
65.
Okay.
I'm looking at the pages of the Norton book.
This is kind of a brief overview. We'll take a look at the bird's eye view. It's basically the same story that we've seen over and over again. The top 5 activities that have resulted in injuries and exposures, of course, EMS, that's where you're going to get all of your exposures to things, viruses, which is the new normal, I suppose. Station duties, fire suppression, skills training, and wellness and fitness. That's the bulk of where everybody's getting their injuries and exposures.
Grace, I do have one question on that page real quick. On the reporting rate, the 77%, is that better, worse than previous years?
You know, it's slightly better, but it's right in that range of normal.
Would it be beneficial to maybe have like a three-year trend? That way we can kind of keep an eye on if we're getting the message out to really encourage people and people are listening to that and more departments are participating. And I know as we continue to add departments in the state, it's going to be important that we really track along with that to make sure that we're finding different avenues to get that message out about the importance of this for all firefighters.
Yeah, definitely. We could put in there the numbers from the past 3 years or 5 years or whatever you guys want.
Okay. To me, I just think that would help just me be able to see if we're keeping up.
I would request 5 years.
5 years?
5 years.
Okay.
Okay, I will do that. Let's see. What would be interesting? I'm going to go to page 12, which is figure 3. Sorry for all the delays. This is just kind of clunky. But as you can see, this is just a simple pie chart, and it's showing the difference between injuries that were received in emergency activities and non-emergency activities. And to me, it's a little bit interesting that now it's almost like 50-50, that 50% of, you know, all the injuries and illnesses and things like that are happening in non-emergency activities. However, with the trend with all of the viruses and the reporting of all the exposures and things like that, I suppose it makes sense. And also, there's always going to be injuries, and there's always going to be this data that we're collecting. So the fact that it's sort of skewing away from emergency activities, maybe that's a good thing. As those kind of injuries kind of, in terms of, as part of like the whole 100% picture, as those become less, you know, we're getting safer out there on the fire ground and things like that. That's kind of what it means to me. I don't know if I explained that very well, if it made sense, but you probably want more of your injuries that way.
Grace, I noticed, thank you for that. On page 20, and you don't have to bring it up, when you start looking at, you're correct, we're seeing less injury trends on the fire ground. However, the fire ground injury trends still account for the most lost time. And so on page 21, fire suppression is the top for 91 plus days. And from a Texas work for the fire chiefs and the administrators in the audience, for fire departments that have excessive lost time, they get placed on an extra hazard employer identifier. And when they do that, there's certain programs that have to be put into place. And so while we're seeing less trends, the fire injuries still seem to be the highest for lost time. And so that still puts up a flag for us to be able to address those. And not uncommon in our industry, skeletal injuries are the number one trend. We know that looking at the documents. And you did an excellent job on putting this together, by the way. And but I was really surprised with hands being number two. So knees was number one, hands is number two. I expected the back to be up there, and it's following, which tells me, and when you start looking at it and breaking down this report, burn injuries are coming into the hand side of it, which tells me either we're not adequately making sure our personnel are wearing their protective equipment properly, or there's a problem with the gloves. And in my career, we've experienced both those challenges. You know, sometimes the gloves have too low of a TPP rating for what we're using them for, and folks are getting burned through them, or they're not wearing them because, you know, they're clumsy to wear sometimes in firefighting. So those findings I thought were pretty relevant to this, and I wanted to make sure to bring that up to the audience. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I know that we had an increase this year in the number of cancer reports, and so we've been putting out the call for that, or trying to talk about it more in these meetings and asking people to please report any incidences of cancer in their departments. And so that's gone up considerably this year. It's towards the end of the report. Let's see. Pages 26 and 27. You can take a look at some of the details there. I'll bring it up on the screen. Yeah, so 70 this year. I think this is probably about double of what we've had in the past. So word is getting out there. People are submitting their reports to us, and it's good to be collecting that data. I think the fatalities for this year, there were only two. One was from cancer. It was an older gentleman. And then the other, I believe, was COVID-19. But everything else, you know, I would think it's about business as usual. And then, of course, if you go to page 29, we have the recommendations from last year listed there. But I'll be taking down your recommendations for this report this year.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add here.
Yes, sir.
First, it's been pointed out, but Grace does a fantastic job with this. I mean, all year long, she's working on the injury reports that are coming in and working with the different staff people to make sure those get looked at and reviewed and reported properly. And she's also working on putting this report together and tweaking it and making updates. Because we're already in the second week of August here, by law, we have to have this submitted to the State Fire Marshal's office by September 1, which gives us about 3 weeks to make any changes we need to make. And really, the priority today would be these recommendations from the commission. If you're good with what's highlighted there, those were last year's recommendations, or if you want to add new ones, we just need to make sure and clarify that so that she can complete that part of it and we can get this thing submitted on time.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Cody.
I have some new recommendations for consideration by the commission. Can I read them?
Sure. Okay. Please proceed.
Number one, I would recommend that all firefighters review injury trends within their individual organizations, departments, and practice proper lifting and moving techniques. Number two, inspect your personal protective equipment regularly and replace or repair damaged and worn items, referencing NFPA 1851. Number three, ensure all appropriate PPE is properly worn on emergency response incidents. And number four is review decontamination procedures for medical and structure fires, and I'm basing those based upon the injury trends that I saw within the documentation.
Those are in addition to what's already there?
We've already required that. I would add new ones, but that's just me.
Mr. Chair, I would offer, just in addition to what Commissioner Cotton mentioned, I think it was number three about wearing your PPE on emergency incidents, also including just making sure that we're recommending people wearing the proper PPE even around the station, because there's working on tools, working on the apparatus, there is a certain time to have the right PPE on. Mm-hmm. So I would just include that as well. I like the recommendations, but I would just expand that one a little bit more.
Get out of flip-flops.
Yeah.
I guess one comment that I would have are that some of the things up in the top that are highlighted, is there still a relevance to quarantine leave? I feel like that was probably put in because of the pandemic, which was officially declared over, what, in May? Mm-hmm. So does that really still need to be a recommendation, or does it matter if it's in there or not? I'm just floating that out there. I don't know that it hurts to leave it in there, but
it doesn't hurt to leave any of them in there.
No, I agree. Any other additions? Okay.
It's still the same.
Okay.
Not just the
okay. Grace, I think you got what you need?
If I can get a copy of what you had written, Commissioner Coatney, that would help me out.
Now you got to be able to read it.
Not bad.
Well, firefighter.
Grace, I took some notes too, so we can get together on that.
Okay.
If there's no other discussion, I'll entertain a motion to approve this before it on with the corrections noted, or so the additions
moved.
Noted.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Item 19.
Matters from the agency chief. A, update regarding agency duties and responsibilities. B, decision of the agency chief in contested cases and consent orders. C, status regarding division functions. 1, training approval and testing, test administered training approvals, record reviews, and online training audits. 2, certification of professional development. Training applications, IFSEC seals issued, certifications issued, training facilities, curriculum development, library resource requests. 3, compliance, including biennial inspections, compliance officers training, issues involving regulated entities. And finally, 4, information technology, including public website design, farm and phyto improvements, CAPS, IT security policy, and service requests.
All right. So under A, the agency duties and responsibilities, just to briefly recap the report I gave you yesterday in the workshop, very good legislative session as far as we were concerned. We had 8 exceptional requests. We received 7 of those in completion, and the 8th one we got about 75%. And what that means, we asked for 6 new FTE positions, and we were granted 4 of those positions. So we're currently in the process of hiring. We're taking applications for our open positions now and hope to start filling those pretty quick. We also got money for vehicles, so we're in the process of trying to purchase a dozen vehicles, which everybody knows that might be a challenge. It might take some time. We got the money we asked for office improvements, which could and most likely will involve relocation, whether in this building or to another state building. We got additional money for staff training, and I'm missing one. I don't have my notes on my desk. We asked for a 10% salary increase for all staff, which they gave all state employees, but that was granted, and the first 5% was awarded to the employees on July the 1st. The second 5% will come on September 1 of 2024. So, very good session as far as we were concerned. I know during my travels last year, I had my hat in hand at these regional meetings and were practically begging folks to support us if they could. Happy to say that got a lot of feedback while walking the halls of the Capitol that we did get quite a bit of support, and I just want to thank everybody in the audience and anybody who may have submitted any type of support for us and our mission. I think everything we got is going to help us continue to do a better job. I can tell you that we're still struggling just to keep up on a daily basis with all of our statutory requirements. We're behind on compliance inspections. We're behind on training facility audits. We're going to continue to work to accomplish that, but I probably already have a pretty good list for the next session. I'm going to be asking for some more, but we'll discuss that when we get a little closer. But all in all, great session, and I appreciate everybody's support. Under item B, for a change of pace, there is one contested case to bring you up to speed on. In February of this year, we received a complaint involving the Weslaco Fire Department. An investigation was initiated. Some of the complaints dealing with mandated SOPs not being met by the department were founded. There were complaints that injury reports were not being reported in accordance. That was unfounded. But during the on-site investigation phase, numerous violations were discovered as far as their SCBAs and some record keeping and things of that nature. The resulting investigation concluded on March the 27th. They were given a report of their notice of final disposition. The city pushed back a little bit on that, so we had a contested case hearing. that involved the compliance division chief and the deputy chief of the agency, along with our legal counsel. That occurred on June 9th, and as a result of that meeting, the city was in agreement with the findings, and they were already taking steps to correct the issues. I will tell you that because of this complaint and the findings, Weslaco will be subject to unannounced risk-based inspections just to verify compliance and that they're working towards it, and that could last upwards of 2 to 3 years. But we don't anticipate any problems. They seem receptive. And that's it for contested cases at this point. Part C, in your notebook, you have reports from each division, and I'm not going to read all of those for you, but I want to hit a couple of highlights and answer any questions you might have. Just in the third quarter, we administered over 8,000 exams. That number continues to stay at that level and sometimes even higher. That's a phenomenal number of exams being administered. I think what's made that a lot easier is that we're almost all our exams are available online now. We do have requests on occasion for written examinations, which require a proctor, and we're able to accomplish that much easier today because most people are taking advantage of the online. At the same time, that training division or testing division handled 173 record reviews. Seven are still pending some additional information. And they did conduct 17 online training facility audits. We continue to add online testing centers around the state. It seems like we're adding one about every 14 days, which is remarkable. When I first got here, we had 32. We're pushing over 90 right now, and I don't see that slowing down anytime soon. So that's going extremely well and enabling us to deliver more exams. On the certification side of the house, I just wanted to point out over 4,500 new certifications were issued in the third quarter alone. Unbelievable number there. And to coincide with that, over 2,100 IFSEC seals were awarded. On the compliance side of the house, there's a lot going on. The reason we're behind on compliance inspections are numerous, but I think it all falls on just the vast number of new departments and new training facilities that we've seen in the last year. I can tell you that this time, I take that back. Yeah, for 2022, we saw an increase of 66 regulated fire departments just in 2022. And that number's continuing to grow this year. We don't have a final count on it yet because we're not at the end of the year. But when you think about that in the state of Texas and the workload that the seven compliance officers already have, that 66 more departments they have to inspect. So to me, as an agency chief, it's remarkable that we're only behind our mandated number of inspections by about 43, and they're working every day to catch up and meet that. But I think it also makes the case we need more staffing there. At the same time, our investigations are up. If you'll remember, one of the sunset recommendations was to make the complaint reporting easier. Clearly that needed to be done. That was accomplished. I'll tell you, we're getting complaints on a daily basis, and they're filtering through those. We currently have 26 open investigations. Whether those are complaints or injuries, that's a lot, and it's the same 8 compliance officers that are doing those investigations along with their compliance inspections. So I can tell you there's one investigation going on that has 4 compliance officers involved in it. It's that big of an investigation. So all that on top of our efforts to help the Forest Service and the state with the wildfire response and other incidents, our compliance guys are busy. They just can't keep up. One of the FTE positions that we got from the legislature this year will be a compliance officer, and I'm seeing a need to go back and ask for a few more in the next session. So lastly, our IT department, these guys, they really are the backbone of what we're doing. Everything we're doing is online, and as you know, on computers. I mean, I'm a big chief tablet and crayon guy. They don't even let me have them anymore. I mean, it's all got to be done on the computer. And with technology, every time you do something new, something goes wrong, and these guys are phenomenal. They work round the clock. They're working on the weekends, and they're accomplishing correcting problems as they come up. So can't say enough about all the staff and what they're doing. We're getting our work done. We're just struggling to keep up because the work continues to increase, and we just can't get ahead of it. But things are well across the board. I think everybody's doing good, and again, I can't say enough about the work they do. I'm grateful to have them. They clearly make me look good, because you can see I don't look that good. So I'm grateful for what they do. That's the end of my report.
All right. Chief Wisco, thank you for that report. Commissioners, any questions or comments? Commissioner Kirby.
Chief Wisco, if you use a Remarkable, it's very much like a new version of the Big Chief tablet. So,
I lean forward to the etch and sketch, but I'll take the recommendation.
Yeah. I'd like to see on the quarterly reporting a three-year trend for the overall pass rate for every quarter that we've had, and also areas where we had low scoring in particular sections. You know, we've had people come and speak about low scoring on our hazardous materials sections in the past. I'd like to see those areas highlighted on the statistically lower scoring areas of the test as well, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioners, anything else? All right, we'll move to item 20.
Personal matters regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, and duties of the agency chief.
Is there anything to discuss here before we go into closed session? All right. Seeing none, it is 11:02 a.m. on August 10, 2023. At this time, the commission will go into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 551.074 to discuss personnel matters under Agenda Item 20. And the commission will go into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 551.071 to obtain legal advice under Agenda Item Number 14. The commission requests that all non-commissioned members leave the room except for legal counsel, Chief Wisco, and Amanda Kahn. So in case you don't, I'm sorry. 14.
We'll say 13 and 14.
13 and 14. Back on the item, Agenda Item numbers that we'll discuss. You good? Okay.
13 was conviction. 13 was on the criminal conviction.
Yeah. I think it's 17, what you meant. 14 and 17.
It's because what's posted on the Secretary of State's website might be a little differently numbered than the one that I'll have before you.
12 and 14.
Two out of
12, 14, and 17.
Which numbers would you like me to say?
So on the for legal advice, it'll be 13. The regarding the rules for the advisory committee.
That's out of 14.
She has a different agenda than we do.
The one posted on the Secretary of State.
There was an amendment onto the thing. It may not have updated on the full thing, but there should be an amendment on their notes on the website if you see it.
So is it 14
and 14? 13.
It's okay.
463 is 14.
Good. Okay. Audience members, for those of you that may not return after the closed session, thank you for being here today. We always appreciate you coming out to support us and give us your comments. So y'all have safe travels if you're going back home now. We will come back into open session following the executive session for a vote.
No votes can be taken in executive session.
Thank you.
You ain't got anywhere else to be. Yeah, with a rotating chair.
Jason.